Mercies of a Covenant God. I was born at Stand, about 5 miles from Manchester, in October 1776. My parents being poor, I had but little opportunity of acquiring human learning, though by the tender mercy of God, I obtained a little reading and writing, a blessing for which I have often felt thankful. My dear mother was, I believe, a vessel prepared unto glory before the mountains were brought forth. This God made manifest when I was about 8 years of age in a manner that has often filled me with surprise. I had frequently been astonished to see my dear mother sighing, groaning, and weeping when reading her Bible. But upon one occasion I distinctly recollect that a neighboring woman called in, and observing my mother in tears, asked what was the matter with her that she was in so much trouble. My mother, as soon as she was able to speak, cried out that her poor soul was lost for ever and ever, at which the woman was astonished, and so was I. The woman endeavored to comfort her by telling her that she had been a good wife, mother, and neighbor, and consequently could have nothing to fear, for if such good people as she were lost, woe to thousands besides. Moreover, she continued, you ought not to indulge in such thoughts as these, for who can tell in what they will end? My poor mother, however, could not drink in such doctrine as this, but exclaimed, oh, I am the greatest sinner that was ever upon the earth, and lost I must be for ever. There is no salvation for me. Oh, that I had never been born. The woman bade her remember that there is mercy with God for every one that repenteth. Yes, said my mother, there is to his own people, but I am not one of them. I am a castaway, lost for ever and ever. How astonishing did all this appear to my mind! How did I desire to know who God was and who were his people! I remember that I cried and, retiring to a private place, said my prayers twice very devoutly, and was as firmly resolved as any Arminian in the world to be good. For God, thought I, will love me if I continue good, and I shall become one of his people, and what a happy people must they be who are God's, and how holy too. For if my poor mother, who is so good, is not one of them, how very good they must be. I then vowed and promised how good I would be. I found upon examination that I had done many wrong things, such as frequently telling untruths, using bad words, and occasionally stealing a toy from the children with whom I was in the habit of playing. Then I prayed the Lord to forgive me, and vowed never to commit the like again. From this period I went on with many natural convictions, until I arrived at the age of 15 or 16 years, when, getting acquainted with many loose companions, I was given up to all manner of wickedness, and so continued until my arrival at that time and place which God had proposed, not to offer, but to call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. I was at that time married, and hearing that a new church containing a fine organ was to be opened at Bolton, distance about 6 miles, I made up my mind to go, and to enjoy myself by spending a few shillings that I had had at the various public houses on my way home. These houses had been my delight for years, but blessed be the dear Lord, he had designed other things. When the day came, I went, and was greatly pleased with the appearance of the church, But when the minister entered the reading desk, I was struck with astonishment at observing that he was the very man whom I had heard preach one sermon in our parish church many years before, a sermon which had alarmed me to that degree that I had made many vows to live a new life, and for several weeks afterwards durst scarcely look or speak for fear of sinning. I had soon, however, broken my vows, and become worse than ever in open wickedness, until God now laid hold of me. When the minister began to read the prayers, I thought I had never heard them read in like manner before. But when he got into the pulpit and read his text, it came from his mouth into my heart like a two-edged sword. His text was, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I verily believe that he pointed directly at me, for his eyes appeared to look right through me, and I thought I should have dropped into hell. All my sins and iniquities from a child stared me in the face, and I trembled like a leaf. He began to show what man was by nature, and how far natural man might go in vowing and breaking their vows, in sinning and repenting, until, if grace prevented not, hell proved their awful abode. He showed that for men to vow was merely to mock God and deceive their own souls. My very hair stood on end with the violence of my feelings, and I verily believe that he meant me and none else in the church. Nay, he so particularly described my ungodly life, my vowing and vow-breaking, and so entered into every transaction of it, as if he had been an eyewitness to everything I had done or said, that I looked up to him, wondering whether he were a man or an angel. I thought that he fastened his eyes directly upon me, and pointed personally at me with his finger. And when he had thus cut me up, root and branch, he repeated his text again like thunder in my ears, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Oh, the power with it which it entered my soul, like a dagger that cut me through and through. I now saw and felt what I had never seen or felt before, that I have been mocking God and deceiving my soul all my life long. Oh, how my poor soul heaved up with grief and sorrow. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, thought I, he can never show mercy to such a wretch as I, for I have mocked God all these years. And what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again the dear man repeated, "God is not mocked." As soon as he had concluded, I crept out of the church as if I had stolen something. Ashamed to look anybody in the face, I hastened through the town, and with difficulty refrained from roaring aloud like a bear as I passed through it. I thought that everybody gazed and pointed at me. On my way home, the moment I got into the fields, where no human eye could see and no human ear could hear me, I fell upon my knees, and with all my power of body and soul cried, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." How often I repeated the publican's prayer, I know not. But when I arose from my knees, I went on wringing my hands, sobbing and exclaiming, "O fool that I had been! How often would God have saved me, but I would not! Now it is all over, forever and forever. Oh, the dreadfulness of appearing before that God that will not be mocked is past describing." When I passed a public house, I durst not even turn my eyes to look at it, much less enter into it to enjoy the pleasure I had anticipated upon leaving home. All the dreadful things I had been guilty of in these wretched houses arose before my poor soul like an army in battle. Oh, cried I, cursed places, cursed places, ye have ruined my soul forever. Oh, that I had but kept my vows. Oh, what shall I do? Whither can I flee? How can I stand to hear the awful sentence, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Upon reaching home, my wife was surprised to see me return so early. She wondered at my being so quiet and asked what was the matter. I told her I was very unwell and did all I could to hide the grief of my soul. But concealment for any length of time was impossible. So great was my misery, and such fast hold had it of me, and that at every opportunity I could get by myself, I was upon my knees crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, sometimes repeating the cry until my very breath failed me. She soon, therefore, perceived that something had happened, and charged me with having turned Methodist. I told her that I knew not what I had turned, but this I did know, that I was one of the vilest sinners upon earth, and that if I did not mend my ways, repent, and find mercy, I was as sure of going to hell as that I had been born, and that I would turn anything if I could but thereby save my poor soul, for as yet I could think of no other way of my soul being saved but by mending my life, doing my duty, and pleasing God.